The following podcast is for information purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for psychotherapy with a trained mental health professional.
Rational Radio.
Welcome to Rational Radio. I'm Micah Perkins. Today, on this podcast, we're going to answer the question, what does it mean to be rational? After listening to this podcast, you'll be able to define what the term rational means in rational emotive behavior therapy. Be able to identify the characteristics of rational and irrational beliefs, and be able to distinguish the difference between healthy and unhealthy emotions. In rational emotive behavior therapy, the term rational is often misunderstood by people. Whenever people think of the word rational, they often think of Mr. Spock from Star Trek having no emotion, only looking at what's logical and illogical. They may think of their high school physics teacher who was boring and showed no emotion whatsoever. May think of some scientist that only wants to look for evidence to things and has no passion for life. And that is one of the misconceptions of rational emotive behavior therapy. So today we're going to talk about what is meant by the term rational in rational emotive behavior therapy. In rational emotive behavior therapy, distinguishes between two different types of beliefs, what it calls rational beliefs and irrational beliefs. Rational beliefs are characterized as being flexible, non-extreme, consistent with reality, logical, and helpful to the individual in pursuing his or her basic goals. Irrational beliefs are characterized as being rigid or extreme, inconsistent with reality, illogical, and detrimental to the individual in pursuing his or her basic goals and purposes. So rational beliefs are logical and consistent with reality. However, it is this last characteristic that really determines if a belief is rational or irrational. The fact of if it is helpful to the individual in pursuing his or her basic goals. Ellis, in one of his articles, stated, in normal usage, the term rational means realistic, conforming to the facts or to reality. In rational emotive behavior therapy, we usually mean by rational any clear-cut belief that helps you with your emotional problems and realistically and logically achieve your goals. So then, even though a belief may be illogical and inconsistent with reality, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's self-defeating. We'll probably have a podcast in the future that will discuss in more detail that point. It can think of an example. Let's say that there's tribe in Africa or somewhere that believes that whenever a person dies, that their spirit goes and lives in trees. Even though many people in maybe Western society would consider that to be an irrational belief in that there's no proof to show that spirits live in trees, still, a typical RBT therapist wouldn't dispute that belief. Because if it is self-helping for the person, if the tribe feels that some sort of comfort in knowing that their deceased loved ones are in the trees surrounding them and that they're watching them and protecting them from wild animals and that type of thing, and they find comfort there, that's not self-defeating. However, let's say that they're starting to run out of other materials such as grass and hay in order to build fire to help them stay warm and to cook their food. They're starting to run out of some of those other resources, and all that's left around them are trees. But yet they don't want to cut down the trees because they're afraid that the spirits live within the trees and that they're going to be killing the spirits of their loved ones. And so then the whole village starts to suffer. People die from extreme cold and the elements. Then that belief becomes self-defeating, and that belief may need to be looked at and changed, or, you know, the people may decide that they believe that so much that they rather die than to give up that belief. And this is where a lot of people start having difficulties with RBT and religion. And in the past, Albert Ellis has been a staunch atheist. Now he's lessened some of those views. He continues to be an atheist, but he no longer preaches that all religious beliefs are irrational. He concedes now that religious beliefs can be self-helping to the individual. but they can also at times be self-defeating as well. Like I said, that's not the purpose of today's podcast. We'll discuss religion and RBT in a future podcast. But the important thing to look at is that irrational beliefs are often rigid extreme, inconsistent with reality, illogical, and most importantly, self-defeating to the individual in achieving his or her goals. Dr. Ellis has found that irrational beliefs consist of a demand, a must, should, ought, a dogmatic have-to-be demand, and also usually consist of one of three different derivatives, what he calls awfulizing, low frustration tolerance, or people rating. We'll talk more in the future about those four different characteristics and describe those in more detail in a future podcast. A lot of RBTers have gotten away from the word rational and irrational in that it often has a negative connotation to it. A lot of RBTers prefer the term self-helping and self-defeating. I remember having a therapy session with this nice woman, just a really nice, sweet woman, but she had some irrational beliefs that was leading to her feeling depressed. And so one of my homework assignments for her was to read an article by Dr. Ellis that talked about rational and irrational beliefs. And so she read the article, and then she came back to me the next therapy session and said, "So you think that I'm an irrational person?" And I then had to help her see that her beliefs weren't realistic, logical, and most importantly, self-helping. They were self-defeating her. But she got hung up on that word irrational and rational, and I had to spend valuable time in therapy trying to explain to her that it's not that I think that she's just such an ignorant person because that she has these irrational beliefs, that all of us have irrational and rational beliefs. So sometimes people get really hung up on that term. So as a general practice in therapy sessions, I like to use the word self-helping and self-defeating, and that helps us get away from that hang-up of rational and irrational beliefs. So rational beliefs contribute to healthy emotions, whereas irrational beliefs contribute to unhealthy emotions. This is one of the distinct features of RBT in that it divides emotions up into healthy and unhealthy emotions. Now that's not to be confused with pleasant emotions. A person can experience a very unpleasant emotion, but it be a healthy emotion. Some examples of healthy emotion are concern, sadness, annoyance, remorse, regret, disappointment. Some examples of unhealthy emotions are anxiety, depression, clinical anger, guilt, shame, hurt. It's important whenever we start talking about labeling emotions that we not get caught up in the semantics of it. For example, one person may consider guilt to be an unhealthy, self-defeating emotion, whereas another person may consider guilt to be a healthy, self-helping emotion. Some people may prefer the term guilt versus shame and say that shame is an unhealthy feeling. Some people prefer the term regret to guilt. Again, it's not the word, the label that we put on it. We don't want to get all caught up in the specific label that we put on the emotion. Instead, it's really the beliefs and the behaviors that accompany that emotion that determines whether it's healthy or unhealthy. And it's not always easy to determine if a feeling is healthy or unhealthy. Some ways to distinguish, to determine if a feeling is healthy or unhealthy, is to first look at the intensity of the feeling. Usually, unhealthy feelings are much more intense. Now, that's not always the most reliable method to determine. Somebody can feel extreme sadness and it not necessarily be an unhealthy emotion. But that's one thing that we can look at, is simply the intensity of the feeling. Another thing that we can look at to determine if a feeling is healthy or unhealthy are the thoughts that accompany the feeling. If a person loses someone who is very, very close to them, and they feel intense sadness, then that is a healthy, a natural feeling of loss. If they have thoughts that accompany that feeling, such as, "I'm very sad that this person has died and is no longer in my life, I will miss them very much, all those are, although unpleasant, natural, healthy emotions. However, if a person then loses someone who's close to them, feels intense sadness, which is natural, but then also, in addition to those thoughts of I'm going to miss them, that they're no longer in my life, has thoughts of now that they're not in my life, I can't go on. Life is no longer worth living. It is awful, terrible, horrible thing to live without them. Maybe some thoughts of I didn't treat them well in life. Some extreme guilt or shame in that I should have treated them better. I'm a no good person because of the way that I treated them in life. Those thoughts that accompany that feeling, then that's probably going to contribute to them feeling very, very, very depressed. So this leads to the third way to determine if a feeling is healthy or unhealthy, and in my opinion is probably the most reliable way to distinguish between the two, are the behaviors that accompany the feeling. So again, if we look at a person who has lost someone who's close to them, they feel intense sadness, but their thoughts of, I will miss them, that they're no longer in my life, it's a very sad thing. And their behaviors are that they, even though days that they just want to stay in bed and pull the sheets over their head, they go ahead and get up out of bed, they go ahead and take the shower, they get ready, they go to work, and they do the best they can to try to cope at work while they're there, come home, they still are acting lovingly to their family members, then they probably, again, that's probably a healthy, although unpleasant emotion, because they're having those rational beliefs that go along with that emotion. However, if the person is very, very depressed, they have thoughts of, I can't live now that this person is no longer in my life. Life is awful. It's terrible. It's the worst thing ever. I can't stand it. I'm a no good person because of the things that I did to this person while they were alive. And then they stay in bed. They pull the sheets over their head. They don't get up out of bed. They don't take a shower. They don't go to work. These behaviors become self-defeating. The person ends up losing their job. They have problems in their relationship with others and that they're very short with them. They yell, they scream at the other family members in their lives, causing these people to distance themselves from this person. Then it's probably reasonable to assume that that is an unhealthy emotion, that is depression, because of all these other self-defeating thoughts and self-defeating behaviors that accompany that feeling. So in the following podcast, we're going to start looking at rational and irrational beliefs. We're also going to start looking at healthy and unhealthy emotions and helping you to identify what your beliefs are, to challenge the irrational beliefs while strengthening the rational beliefs so that you can experience more of the healthy, natural emotions versus the unhealthy, self-defeating emotions. Well, thank you for joining me today. Again, I want to invite you to look on my website, rebt-cbt.net. I'll have the notes from today's podcast on that website. I also have some homework suggestions. As we talked about in the last podcast, it's very, very important to work very, very hard in applying these concepts to your life. So there are some homework suggestions on there for ways that you can apply these things in your daily life and begin to ingrain these principles to help you experience more healthy emotions and fewer unhealthy emotions. Also on my website, there are many articles or links to articles, and so I encourage you to start reading those articles so that you can become more and more familiar with these concepts. Well, thank you for joining me today. I look forward to when we talk again.